The Chazar has returned.
Chazor Bach. Okay, I saw you saying it's very, very good. And some of the things he writes there is also, you know, there's a lot of overlap. I didn't say a little Kabbalistic things I didn't say over there when you gave me the too esoteric. Try more the down-to-earth things. Okay, today, another chapter. This is a very fascinating chapter in this incredible Sefer Das Konisa, three volumes. Unbelievable stuff. He has basically goes through some chidushim in the laws of kashrus from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Not everything from Moshe Feinstein. Yes, a lot other very popular or controversial issues that relate to the kashrus industry. So let's discuss some of these ideas for a few minutes. Okay, first idea. Let's.
There was something this year with the donkey with Dan and yogurt.
Yeah.
They had three versions.
Wow.
They had an OUD. They had an OUDP. And the Chara, they said that all the OUD was cut to the Pesach, and then the second day of Chol HaMoed, or the first day, they came out with a notice that you really, if you didn't eat the OUD, don't eat it. It's not chametz, but don't eat it, and only use the OUDP. But they didn't say why.
All right, I don't know. I do not know. Okay, here's interesting. Over here, there are three tshuvas. This is from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe was once asked, this is a tshuva which appears in Yoredeya, Chelek Alpha Yoredeya, Simen Nunhei. Someone asked Rav Moshe Feinstein, can you rely upon, there's a factory which makes a product, I don't know the details, I don't think it even says the details. You write some details, I don't know how true are these words. Make a certain product, and you know the product, we don't really know if the product it has parfus. And the factory that produces this product, you call them up, and they tell you these are the ingredients. Like the olden days, you go into a candy store and you want to buy some candy. You go into a Goyshe candy store and you pick up Reese's Pieces and you look at the ingredients. And as long as it doesn't say Chazer, it doesn't say some cold words. What could be? Isn't that what we all did? Right? Who didn't do that? What could be? So you ate it. Okay, what could be? So the question basically the person asked Rav Moshe, can you do this? Can you go and can you rely upon certain products that you look at the package and it tells you what the ingredients are and you call up the factory and the foreman of the factory promises you, I'm telling you, these are the ingredients and this is all we use the machines for. There's the kalim are all only used for this. Can you rely upon the factory, their honesty for what they put on the package and what they tell you over the phone, or if you even visit them, they tell you this is what's in the product. And basically, Rav Moshe says yes. He basically maybe shocked.
They can tell you Monday.
Yes.
Tuesday they can change the ingredients.
It's not likely. It's very unlikely. You don't have to be chayish. You don't have to be chayish.
They talk about the kosher ingredients, or that the food is kosher.
The ingredients. You have a product. You have a candy bar. You have a company which makes a certain candy, like a Coca-Cola. Okay, they put Coca-Cola. I know Coca-Cola used to be this stuff. Used to talk about Coca-Cola, but let's say make believe Coca-Cola. Let's say they give you the ingredients, the secret formula. Okay, it's not a big secret, but let's say they give you the secret formula. They tell you this is what's in. This is it. Zehu. This is what's in the ingredients. They give you the 10 ingredients that go into making this product. And it's on the label. And it's government regulation. So do I have to go invest in a kashrus agency, in a hashkacha, v'chul, can you just eat the product? So basically Rav Moshe says, yeah, he wrote this tshuva, an early tshuva. It's one of the earlier tshuvas. It's mutter. Now, obviously, today you're going to tell me today it's a different world. Ain't a chanami. Let's hold back on a moment. But years ago, we're going back in time, put yourself in a time machine, probably go back 50, 60 years. So in Israel, Moshe Shaila, we have some candy, a product, and these are the ingredients. We call up the factory. They tell us things. This is what we do. Exactly. It seems like it's fine. A mashkiach has never stepped in this facility, ever. Can we eat the product? And if Moshe says, yeah, why not?
Right.
There's mirsos. They don't want the uman. There's a yisoid in halacha. Uman loy mora nafshe. You don't want to be caught and get into trouble. You go and you put on the label false ingredients. There are more ingredients. They'll put you in prison. They'll fine you. You'll have a bad reputation. We have mitam avida ligluye. If they're faking out the world, or they're putting into a product ingredients that are not kosher, they're going to get caught. We live in a transparent world. Even then, even 60 years ago, there was a degree of transparency where you can't get away with everything.
The laws are much stricter today.
Umitam, another reason, nirsas. They'll be fined. Okay, they'll go out of business very quickly. Their stock will drop. They're not looking to play games. It's just plain posh. Now, three halachic principles. Uman loy mora nafshe, avida ligluye, it's going to be discovered, and nirsas, they're afraid of punishment. So Rav Moshe says each one of these principles is solid. And okay, you don't have to be chayish for extreme exceptions. And he basically says, you don't need a hashgacha. There are many products that you do not need. That's just shocking, right? Oh, you only heard me now. Boy, what they would do to me. You know what?
It could be bottle b'shishim anyway.
That's also true. He doesn't get into that. If there isn't a non-kosher ingredient, it could be bottle 100%. Basically, there are certain products that do not need a hashgacha.
Yeah, well, he added, he said anything that has hashgacha that doesn't need hashgacha is a Hashem. He said that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Water.
When you see hashgacha, a bottle of water, he said that's a chil because people make fun of it. In other words, you're going to say, "Oh, look at that! They made hashgacha."
But times have changed, right? Today, times have changed. Times have changed.
I heard that they want it. All these kinds.
No, no, it's true.
They want the yogurt.
Right. Times have changed.
Somebody gave them a bill of goods that their sales will go up if they put it on.
Which is probably true.
But water doesn't need one. That's
but no, today even water needs. Today even water needs. All right, whatever it is. Okay, that's what he wrote in early Tshuva. Let's go weiter. Years later, he wrote, someone asked the Mishnah that fish. A fish. Someone years later asked the Mishnah about fish. Do you need a hechsher on fish? On tuna fish, some type of, it seems to be a very simple, I don't know the details, but it seems to be very, very simple. They go out, they catch fish, they put it in cans. It did not really seem that there should be any halachic issue. Do we need a mashkiach to go down to the factory, do spot inspections, to see what's going on? Or do we say, we know the way it works, we're very familiar with the system, And they tell us they put labels on the container and they tell us what's going on over the phone through investigation. Do we need to have a formal hechsher with the mashkiach to verify everything is being done kedas uchadin in this facility where they package they catch fish and they package them? So he said absolutely. Absolutely. You think nothing can go wrong. Boy, can things go wrong. And it gives you a long laundry list of all the problems that can happen when you catch fish. You know, sometimes in the net comes up non-kosher fish. You have no control. You have no control what you catch in the net. Tuna fish, you have a little creature roaming around. And then behind your back, they put in ingredients. They do this, they do that. And when you think it's good, isn't really that really good? Boy, do you need a mashkiach? Do you have to make an investigation? Investigation, no such thing as having a product, as simple as it may seem, without a hashgach. That's what he wrote in a later tshuva. He wrote this, which tshuva did he write this in? He wrote this, what's going on over here? Mash iskanti. Okay, Yerdei Chelek Gimel. Okay, Yerdei Chelek Gimel. This is Yerdei Chelek Gimel. The other one was Yerdei Chelek Aleph. Now it's Yerdei Chelek Gimel. Okay, so obviously it was a long time later. Okay, the third Chelek of Yerdei took a long time. Then someone wrote to him and said to him, Rav Moshe, there's a stira between Yerdei Chelek Aleph and Yerdei Chelek Gimel. In Yerdei Chelek Aleph, you wrote that a factory where it's pretty straightforward, you don't need hashgacha. A candy bar, you know what the ingredients are, what could be? You wrote, you don't need hashgacha, period. And then in your Yodei Chelek Gimel, you wrote, oh, nothing is simple. You need a hashgacha on everything. I can't rely upon anything. My high. So in Yodei Chilek Dalid, he writes, got me. Good, you got me. You got me. You got me. I had this taka astira. Let me explain to you. He basically says, don't compare. The way it sounds is that the Chilek Aleph, it was such a simple situation. It was indeed the product that I was describing. He actually writes what the product was. It was really like water almost, right? Whatever. It was like really, really simple. So in such a case, in a chinami, I pass that you have nothing to worry about. But fish is a much more complex issue, and there are many more complex issues that go on in these and their issues. And he basically clarifies, and he goes on to say, you know, it really depends. You really got me. And the question really is, even when it comes to factories, it really, you cannot generally, almost like he has harata from when he wrote in Chilek Aleph, and he says you cannot generalize. It all depends where is the factory. Is the factory in the United States? Is the factory in China? Is the factory, even in the United States, where is it? Is it in the metropolitan area? Or is it out who knows where and somewhere in Arizona and no one's coming to check on them? And what kind of system do they have in play? What are the ingredients? What are the potential? And basically, basically he says is you're right. You cannot generalize. Theoretically speaking, and technically speaking, if you have a situation where it's really, really simple, it doesn't back away from that, then you don't need hashgacha. You don't. You really don't need hashgacha for certain things. But if there is a reality where there is a lack of mirsas, and there's the woman doesn't really care, there's no one really in charge, and everyone's there for a short period of time, you can't generalize, and indeed you do need a hashgacha, and he writes even hashgacha tamidi. You need hashgacha, it gets very, very tough. He writes in very strong words to really make sure there is nothing wrong.
The same thing happens with the Shabbos man. He takes your suit. If it's an American suit, he'll go very easy on it. It's an Italian suit, he'll rip it apart.
Because there's more of a shash. Okay, now that.
Just to elucidate, the real problem with a lot of products that are made, whether it's in this country or in Canada, is that if it's a very large company and they have factories all over the country making product to avoid shipping costs all over one place, so they make a factory here and there and there. Some places where they make only one product because the sales in that region are so huge, it pays to make a plant for one product. Problem is, somewhere in Kansas, maybe where there's another factory, the sales aren't so great, so they make five products in that facility. And not all of them are going to be hashgach on kosher. So in New York, in the metropolitan region with the factories in Jersey, the product will be kosher, but the same product for the same label in Kansas will not be kosher.
Because
you have to know the coding on the can to know where it, and it says, if you can read the code, where the product was packed. So where we actually put, they made a real distinction was not so much the United States, but with Canada. Was there a lot of products that are made in Canada that truly are not kosher, the same brand in the United States? Because they have fewer sales, they make many more products in the same factory.
Joseph Wexler?
Yeah.
He lives in Israel, but he's a mashgiach for stock, and he goes to the Far East.
Really?
Yeah. He does a lot. He goes 2 or 3 weeks at a time and stuff like that. And he said, his father said he has problems every once in a while, come to back and they change one little ingredient. So he has to call up his posek and double check. And sometimes they have to tell me, you lose your hashgacha, I'll let you go back to the original ingredient. And they will change minor ingredients without
behind your back, exactly. Especially outside the United States, the regulation is very loose. It's not the same standards.
Exactly.
Okay, we're going to talk very quickly. A few very quick things. Moshe very strongly writes that a mashkiach may not be paid, and a lot of kosher industries do not do this. Even today, a mashkiach may not be paid directly by the factory or the company that he is serving. If you're a mashkiach in a restaurant, if the restaurant pays the mashkiach, don't eat in that restaurant. Though it has to be done, there's an organization.
Yeah.
And the organization assigns a mashkiach, and the mashkiach is paid by the organization.
Some have just did an Eretz Yisrael. The restaurants are dropping the Rabbanut, and they're moving it over to Tzomer, especially in Petah Tikva, because the restaurants
are paying the mashkiachim directly.
They're not paying anymore. They don't want it. People don't accept it anymore.
Well, don't accept what?
The Rabbanut has it that they set up mashkiachim get paid by the restaurant.
No, so Rav Moshe, and I went to a seminar, you know, years ago, the OU did this also, the OU allowed this also, because it was harder for them, they allowed the factories in certain situations to pay the mashkiach.
That's what happens, by the way.
And that's, Rav Moshe says that's a recipe for disaster. Because you are in the Gias, if you're going to go tell the boss, so Rav Moshe writes in very strong words, this is unacceptable. A hashkacha, where the mashkiach is being paid by the restaurant, by the pizza shop, by the factory, don't be the product. There's no way in the world that's a mashkiach. You totally have negias. And it's shocking that it's done all over the world today. It really is. It's shocking that this is still done. Okay, next topic. This is a very important topic. Here's halacha. Next topic. What?
It does.
If the restaurant is paying the mashkiach,
the restaurant gets angry. The guy tells him that this thing is no good. They have to change it anyway.
No, they don't. The guy's not going to want to go tell him. Yeah. I don't want to go tell him that it's not kosher because then he's not going to give me my check.
No, you've got to tell him.
No.
He doesn't belong to the organization.
He does belong to the
organization. Somebody has to tell him.
What happens in reality. The OU has the mashkiach and the plant.
Right.
The plant pays the mashkiach. However, it's not 100%. You still have to send a big check to the OU. What the mashkiach is not the reason he's not afraid to open up his mouth and go against the boss. Because if the boss says, I don't want this mashkiach here, and he kicks him out and tells the OU, I don't want this guy in my plant anymore, the OU is mechuyev to find him another job. He's not out of work. He will.
It doesn't matter. There's still negias.
I'm giving you reality.
No, I'm saying
a different reality.
I'm telling you the facts. This is exactly what happened.
But did he have an ovda? I worked in in a restaurant, a particular restaurant. The guy was a certified bar shakya. You understand what I'm saying? And, you know, I used to put him in this place as a mashgiach. A few times he went to the OU and complained he wants me out. The OU told him, you know what?
Right.
You're going to have to live with the guy.
Right.
You have no choice. If it's an organization like the OU, it can be done.
Right.
So it's,
but if he's giving you your check directly, then subconsciously, you're not so quick to criticize him. Yeah.
That depends on the
mashgiach. No. You're bribed. There's a major topic I wanted. Let me just tell you some short things, and then the major will have to leave for tomorrow. The short thing is, can a woman be a mashgiach?
Yes.
Can a woman? Absolutely, but yeah. Moshe says, and everyone says, a woman cannot have her own kashrus agency.
That's what happened with the OK.
What?
When Beryl Levy passed away, they had to give his son-in-law, his wife became the boss.
No good.
They didn't allow it.
Right.
In other words, so Harvey Gottman, his son-in-law, Chaim, they gave him a...
The Rambam, there's a halacha that a woman is not allowed to have... Orthodox Jews, there's some of a hard time with this, but this is part of being Orthodox Jew. A woman is not allowed in religious matters to have sorora authority. Religious matters. So what is called religious matters? So certainly it means a Sanhedrin, to be part of a dayan, to issue halachic decisions. That's an understatement. Okay, but what about being a mashkiach? Is the food kosher? Why is that a big deal? Why should that be considered to be sorora in religious matters? There's no such thing in Orthodoxy a woman can be the president of the United States. There's nowhere in the world you're going to find in Shulchan Aruch where a woman in a halacha cannot be the president of the United States. Pashut, they say Ivanka wants to run for office. Who knows? Who knows what will be one day? Nowhere does it say that cannot be. It's not halacha. She wants to be a CEO. You want to be a CEO of a company? There's nothing to hate. But to be sorora in religious matters, that is forbidden. That is awesome. It's a breach of tznius, whatever it is. That's the Rambam. You have to go into it's a halacha. The reasons are it's a halacha, but in religious matters. Therefore, why should being a mashkiach to certify food is kosher, should it be considered sarara, authority in religious matters? It's a very tough question. It's just, you go to someone's home to eat. There's no hashkacha. The wife, the balabasta, she says the food is kosher. So that's sarara? That's not sarara. You're coming into my home. So why can't she do this on a larger scale?
That is sarara.
Oh, so that is what comes down to. If Moshe holds, and many follow him, is that giving, even though the concept of a hashkacha is a more modern concept, it's not something that's not so clear. There is, of course, in Avodah Zarah about this, and stuff like Avodah Zarah, but if Moshe holds, a woman having her own kashrus agency, there are many private hashkachas today. There are dime a dozen private hashkachas. A woman, why can a woman have her own private hashkacha agency? Also, but if she is the mashkiach, that's fine because it's not under her authority. She's the worker. They hire women. They hire the one that gives hashkach is the rabbanut, is the OU or the OK, the star K, and they have women who are the inspectors. That distinction is a very important distinction. Next question: Can you have a Jew who is not religious serve as the mashkiach? Very tough question. A non-religious Jew. He's the most erlich guy. The guy has a reputation as being a tzaddik.
Does he eat kosher?
Not necessarily. Does he keep Shabbos? No. But he's such a good guy. He's so honest. This guy goes through his tax returns. He doesn't know what it means to steal to life. Yetinik shenishba. He doesn't know. So what do you want from him? So I'm hiring him. I'm giving him a job. He's there in the restaurant. Make sure, check the ingredients. Make sure they don't pull any.
A guy is not.
A guy for sure not. A guy is not. The guy. A guy is out the door. Forget it. A guy. Chazal do not. There's no aid. Echad nemun beisurin is not said by a guy. I'm sorry. What?
Lefi
tuma, but that's not hashkacha. We're talking about a situation where you need a hashkacha. You have a situation where halacha demands hashkacha. A guy is not accepted.
But how about a chef?
No, the chef is a worker. You need a mashkiach to watch over the chef.
But the chef can do things in the mashkiach.
Exactly. So then it's not a good hashkacha. 100%. That's another machlokes. That's a seven machlokes. It's a seven machlokes. Bishli shol yayinesach. So we're makel pretty much in these matters. As long as it's not lahachas, we're makel the different opinions on that matter. But we're talking about a mashkiach. You have a situation where you need a mashkiach, it's not that, and the guy's job is check the ingredients, check this, check that. Whatever a guy who is a shomer Torah mitzvahs will do, you want a guy who's a Jew. He's a Jew. A guy is not accepted. That's a given. He's Jew. He has a conscience, at least. He's Jewish. But he's not shomer Torah mitzvahs. And he has a reputation as being a very honest, good, sincere person. So Moshe, very interesting, says no. He's not accepted no matter what. Why not? There's a difference between being honest because it's the right thing to do. He has morals. It's an unbelievable insight. And this mamish is a very penetrating concept. And being honest because he has Yirah Shemayim. It's a different type of honesty. A different world. Unbelievable what he says. There are many Erelich people out there. From the people that will not share their taxes. They're better than unfortunately many from people. They're straight as an arrow. But their honesty is not rooted in Yiras Shomayim. Exactly. You have a guy that's nishna, okay, and he tells him he's going to behave himself today. He's going to be a good mashkiach today. So he's pretty much a shomer Torah mitzvah, right? That honesty of Moshe is rooted in Yiras Shomayim. The demand in halacha to be mashkiach for the various situations require mashkiach requires honesty in Yiras Shomayim. And therefore, no matter how good and geschmack the guy, the Jew who's not religious is, it's not acceptable. You'll tell me there's a Gemara. There's a Gemara that says when it comes to, there's a Gemara, he quotes a Gemara where a man has a belief to say about his wife, or wife has a belief to say about her husband a certain thing, even though they're not shomer Torah mitzvahs. So Moshe says, a husband, when the relationship is so close, like a husband and wife, then in a chanami, you would believe a person, you would believe that he's honest, even though they're not shomer Torah mitzvahs. But dealing with a relationship for hashkacha, it doesn't qualify in that type of you're a mashkiach for a business, for a restaurant. It's not a husband and wife type of situation. It's not. And then we're not doing now. It's over. But tomorrow, Mishnah is the big, big question. This is an unbelievable question. It's very nogei halacha l'maisa. Let's say you have a situation where something is only kosher, according to Shulchan Aruch, hefsid meruba. You would never, ever, lechatchila, eat this. Hefsid meruba, it's mutter. Are you allowed to sell it? Are you allowed, you have an animal, and you discover a problem. It's kosher, hefsid meruba. So for the shlachtois, hefsid meruba. So we're going to sell it to all the charedim. Are they allowed to do that, lechatchila? That's a very tough shiloh with many different rules. Pretty much yes, right? So the machlokes, the chasam sofer, and Rabbi Akiva Eger, and what are the parameters? And that is a very big topic, which we'll mention with you tomorrow. What?